This is the Cascade Hiker Podcast. Find us over at CascadeHikerPodcast.com.
I'm a country boy with a soft side. My heart wanders up north to the hillside. And I've never met anyone quite as beautiful as you.
I'm your host, Rudy Getzig. I'm here to inspire you to get out on the trail. You putting in 2 mile hikes, 5 mile hikes? Are you still on the couch? Come on, let's go on a backpacking trip. I'm going to introduce you to some folks that have done that and a whole lot more. Next on the Cascade Hiker Podcast, what's your name and where are you from?
Hi, I'm Kelly Kate, and I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area.
All right. Well, hey, I wanted to talk to you kind of a little bit about trail life and social media and just what goes on. You know, what have you seen out there as far as, the view that some people have that might ruin the experience for other people on the trail?
Oh man, this is such a difficult thing to talk about. I just recently had kind of posted on Instagram about some of the difficulties I encountered with PCT culture while I was on trail, and also while I was off trail and sort of learning about what was happening to my friends on trail via the internet. And what was really bizarre is that I had posted just about how I sometimes felt like the trail culture was a little exclusionary and pretentious and unwelcoming to new hikers. And so many people hit me up and were like, oh dear God, I had the worst experience on trail. I actually left trail because I was so uncomfortable. Or, you know, I hiked the AT in 2013 and I loved it, but it was so difficult for me to interact with other hikers at times that I'm scared to do another thru hike. I mean, I got something like 150 messages and comments from people who were all detailing their own discomfort with trying to access public lands. And that, to me, is a major problem. We're talking about public lands that belong to the public, and if anybody is making the public feel unwelcome in their lands, I think that's something that we need to address.
So what type of situations are you talking about? Not too specific, but are we talking like a racial side of it, or I don't know what type of things were you getting messaged?
This manifests itself in so many different ways, and I feel a little weird speaking to other people's experience because honestly, my experience on trail was very positive. I found a group of people I thought were very accepting and very welcoming and non-judgmental. But I think it's important for hikers to realize that your experience on trail is not the same as everybody else's experience. And if somebody experienced things that were different than your own experience, it doesn't make those things invalid. They just had a different experience than you did. But for me, I think a lot of the ugliness I saw was actually online. And in calling that out, I've had so many people tell me that this is unimportant, or that I'm being too uptight, or that this isn't that big a deal, or it's just the internet. And I don't think that's true. I mean, basically any hiker who's planning a attempt of a thru hike is finding information about their hike online. That's where we all start to plan our resupplies. We find out about our gear. We learn about snow conditions. And unfortunately, a lot of these online forums where people are asking questions about their hike or trying to learn details that will keep them safe on trail are populated by a lot of people who are just incredibly unwelcoming and just unkind, like just mean-spirited people. They're trolls. I don't know who those people are in person, and I'm sure some of them are lovely, but I just don't think it's okay, or at least it should be talked about. We should provide alternatives to these sort of hostile environments for people who just want to go on a hike and need to learn about what they need to bring.
Yeah, I mean, I have actually seen a little bit of that myself, and, you know, it's not cool when you're in there, because what I see in my, because it's not me, but I've seen other people maybe ask a simple question, and then maybe somebody that has way too much experience tries to answer when maybe they should have just ignored it. And they're like saying, well, why would you ask that? That's such a stupid question. And it's like, well, because I need an answer, you know, maybe not from you, because yeah, you're obviously the wrong person to try to answer it. Right.
It's just sort of like unnecessary cruelty. And and I get it. I see people who ask, like, what should I, kind of sleeping bag should I bring on the PCT? And it's like, dude, there's a million articles about this. It's been talked about 20 times before. You can use the search feature and find that. But you know, not everybody knows that. I don't think it's fair to assume that everybody is working with the same knowledge that you're working off of. And I think it's really important that we reach out and try to help people who are asking for help in accessing their land. But it's interesting, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think that, you know, as somebody who works in public lands and has seen how these increases in visitation over the last couple of years have impacted these wild places, I understand why there's a group of people who've maybe spent a lot of time in public lands through hiking, who are seeing those lands affected by these increases in hikers, and these, you know, there's just more and more attempts at the AT, CDT, PCT, all these long trails every single year. And there is this sense of like, I don't want any more people to come in and ruin this land. You know, I love this land and it's getting ruined. And so I want everybody to go away because I want it to stay the same. And I feel that, but it's not, that doesn't make it okay to make something that literally belongs to the American people unwelcoming and inaccessible to a certain part of the public who maybe have not experienced public lands before.
Yeah. You know, jumping back, I really like what you just said, but I had to cut back because you had mentioned, you were talking about something that made me think about, I think that a lot of people online, when they're talking on these social media forums, I think that their obvious cognitive biases come out. And the one that you kind of brought up was the curse of knowledge. And that, that's the thing, is like, not everybody knows what you know. You can't assume that, and that's one that, you know, it's a cognitive bias. I mean, if you, I've done it before, and maybe not in the hiking world, but I've noticed it in myself. But it's unfortunate that maybe other people don't have that in them to notice that they're assuming that everybody knows what a good sleeping bag is, right?
Yeah, and that it's like stupid for them to ask. You know, that maybe this is the wrong place to ask, and they should have realized that. But I come from a very different background in that my job for the last 5 years has been teaching groups of young adults how to live in the woods. So my job has literally been teaching people, oftentimes with no experience, how to live safely in the woods with respect to the wilderness. So I'm really okay with people not knowing anything and being patient with those people and giving them the skill set to behave well in the woods, to respect the woods, and to bring the proper gear to be safe. And if we are creating these online forums where people are going to ask questions and gather information and telling them that they're dumb whenever they ask questions, we're creating a space that could get really dangerous. You know, I don't want hikers to not be accessing this information because they feel uncomfortable in a group where people have been cruel or petty or trolly. And I saw that happening a lot. I had so many people contact me and say, you know, hey, it was such a bummer this summer because I really wanted to hear everybody's snow reports and water reports from the trail, but I just couldn't tolerate the level of hostility I was experiencing in these online forums. And there's a tendency to be like, oh, you know, if you can't take that, you don't belong on the trail. And like, no, like people who want to go on a hike shouldn't have to like wade through the judgment of a bunch of jerks in order to go on a hike.
Yeah, well, and also with the water and the snow level stuff too, people I would think there's probably a group of people out there that you know, they don't think people should be going online to find out those things because they think people should do it themselves. And you know, back in the, you know, whatever, pick a date, we didn't have this, and you know, there could be some of that as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, and there's this like whole good old day mentality. But we live in such a strange world right now with so many conveniences. And I think sometimes people see the problems we encounter today as sort of petty or less important or less valid than the issues that like our parents faced. But that's sort of the nature of just the human race progressing. Like, we're going to continue to have more nuanced discussions about things like public lands or how people treat each other because we can afford to. You know, we have the luxury of free time. And we have the internet to talk to other people about our ideas and our thoughts. And it's creating this world that I think will be a lot better than the world that has existed any time before. You know, we're in this incredible position of power where every single person on this planet gets to contribute to how the world operates. And it doesn't always feel that way. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm not in control of my own future. And, you know, like I have no say in our government. And, you know, international politics is a scary monster that exists in the world that I have no say over. But in actuality, every person has so much ability to impact the things they care about. When it comes to public lands, I think that really every hiker needs to start taking a greater initiative to treat these places with respect, to educate their fellow hikers, and to make sure that we're not turning these lands that belong into a public, to the public, to a kind of a playground for a certain group of elite hikers who got in first. You know, like, it's not a first come, first serve sort of situation. I don't think it should be, at least.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't know. I don't know you with the elite hikers. I don't know where that goes. I have seen a little bit of that, but sometimes, like I said, in what I've seen has been more of, maybe just people that just don't know how to handle themselves online. I'm just saying for me. One thing that you said was really cool, that you said, you know, our land and it's for everybody. I just listened to, I've been listening to The Desert Solitaire by Edward Abbey.
And
yeah, he said something really cool that I just picked up on the way home to talk to you, actually. And he said, you know, that I'm out here in this no man's land. And he's like, actually, it's everybody's land. You know, it's just kind of cool how he put it that way. So
that's great. Yeah, I know, it's such a complicated issue when you're talking kind of about how people feel in accessing public lands. And, you know, I want to make it clear, too, that this isn't just something that I perceived online. While I was on trail, I had a couple of interactions with people where I was just like, you know, like, this doesn't make me feel good. You know, I'm out here to enjoy the wilderness and to enjoy my hike. And it sort of sucks when somebody on trail is sort of questioning the way that you're doing your hike or the way that you are using your gear. Especially as somebody who's lived in the woods for a very long time, and I have my own methods of doing things. But I remember telling somebody, I cowboy camped in the Sierra. It was totally fine for me. I had a -10-degree bag. And this dude was like, you're cowboy camping? No, you need a tent for the Sierra. It's like, no, like, I'll be fine. I think I'm used to cowboy camping. If I need a tent, I have one. And he's like, oh yeah, good luck. You're not going to make it. It's like, dude, you know, like, I'm going to camp how I want to camp. And he had questioned me before about if I'd ever thru hiked before. And I was like, no, I haven't, but I've been living in the woods for a long time and I know what works for me. Like, to have somebody feel like it's their right to judge somebody else so verbally while on trail. I don't know. It's just unkind. Like, it's just kind of the mean thing to do. And I feel like, you know, if we can kind of return to our early lessons in treating others the way we want to be treated, being respectful, you know, that stuff is so important. And I don't think we see enough of it in our culture today, just period. You know, there's a lot of difficulty with having respectful debate, with expressing our thoughts and feelings, and having those thoughts and feelings respected. There's just so much conflict lately.
Yeah, I kind of think that the hiking community needs a new term for this, because, you know, I want to fall back and say this, but I don't want to say it because it kind of sounds dorky nowadays because it just doesn't work. But the hike your own hike is simple, and but it just doesn't seem like it works. You know, say, oh, hike your own hike. It almost just sounds like you're a brand new hiker that just doesn't want to argue or something, you know?
Well, and it's sometimes said with such sarcasm, which is really problematic. But yeah, I mean, I was really surprised when I started researching my hike how much of what's said about long trails comes from routine through hikers and how little voice I seem, or how little I seem to hear the perspectives of people like section hikers. There's certain trail rangers who are incredibly outspoken, and it's been really nice to see their perspective on things. And I think they do a lot to kind of moderate how the community interacts with each other. But I don't know. I think having a diverse range of perspectives surrounding how we use our national scenic trails is really important. Like, I'm really interested in how day hikers are using the PCT or how section hikers are using the PCT. And I love when I hear about people who've maybe been hiking sections for like the last 40 years and are slowly but surely finishing this long PCT hike. And, you know, when you build sort of a hierarchy where the best that someone can do is a true through where they hike every inch of trail, and anything that's not that is somehow less valuable, people end up feeling like their experience doesn't matter. You know, I can't tell you how many people I talked to who hiked 300, 400, 600, 700 miles, but weren't able to finish and just feel like their entire hike was a failure. And some of them were told that, you know, there are people I've spoken to who had written about their experience on trail. Maybe they only attempted a section hike and they were told, well, you know, until you've done a true through, you have no right to speak to your experience. And that's just like not true. And it's also not helpful for people who are of interest in using National Scenic Trails beyond a completed through hike.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic because I know that, I mean, unless those people are using the terminology through hike, you know, if they didn't technically do a through hike, then that person still doesn't need to call them out. But I know I've talked to a lot of through hikers. And I've talked to a lot of section hikers on my podcast. And I know that there's a big difference, not in a bad way, but I know some of the through hikers I've talked to, you know, they almost treat it like a sport. It's like, yeah, I'm going to try to do this trail from start to finish in one season. And, you know, that's a big difference than section hiking it or trying to through hike it and not able to, you know, at that point, I guess you're a section hiker. I don't know. But yeah, there's certainly no reason to be calling people out for that, right?
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it comes from such an ugly place, too. Like, I feel bad for people who think that their time is best spent kind of belittling other hikers for the choices they make on trail. And it was really interesting for me to witness the way that kind of through hiking is handled. And it does feel like a sport. And for me, hiking has never been a sport. Hiking is a hobby. You know, I actually think of it as walking a lot of the time, because the term hiking seems to be really charged lately. But with my hike, you know, I had never said that I was attempting a through hike. I had no intentions to do like a true through hike. And I still got told that I have no right to speak to my experience and that, you know, someone called me just another dumb section hiker. And, you know, it's hard to quantify how frequently this stuff happens, but it's really, really common. I think it's a lot more common than a lot of people think. And it just bums me out. You know, like there's no wrong way to use public lands, assuming that you're like following leave no trace principles and just not being a jerk. So you have this hierarchy where it's this very competitive sport, and people who do not want to play sports, who do not want things to be competitive, end up sort of in these discussions where their hobby is being treated like a competitive sport. And I think that's kind of the crux of the problem a lot of the time, is like just people are treating hiking as very different things.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I guess, you know, I kind of think about it like, you know, through hiking is a sport, but I mean, technically section hiking is kind of a sport too. It's just not called through hiking. So, I mean, I guess that's kind of, you know, but the problem is maybe there is a few people out there that are, I mean, and I don't want to say a few people, I don't want to put a number on it, but I've met some folks that I don't think could ever talk like that to other hikers of any kind. So I would imagine that it's a certain percentage that are doing this. And, you know, if that's what's happening, I haven't seen it, but I believe you 100%. So I think it's really unfortunate that there's people out there doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a bummer. And I don't want to, you know, suggest that every through hiker is like this, or like everybody who's triple crowned is arrogant or anything like that, because it's just not true. There are so many people who are experienced long distance hikers, who've done many long distance hikes and write about them, and are so welcoming, so chill, and not pretentious about this at all. But you know, this exists everywhere. It's not just within the sport of hiking, but anywhere you go, there's going to be somebody who's like, oh, you like that band? Really? When did you start listening to them? Or like, oh, where'd you get your shoes, bro? You know, like, are those handmade? Is that real leather? You know, what are you eating right there? Oh, you're just eating a tortilla with cheese? That's lame. Like, people will criticize literally anything. You know, it makes us feel good. It makes us feel powerful when we think that we are doing something that's really important. And I think for certain people, it's easy to feel big by making other people feel small. And just in general, that's something that we should be discouraging in whatever communities we belong to. And the community of people who are using these long distance trails, who are engaging in long hikes on National Scenic Trails and sharing these trails with people with different values and different goals, just need to be communicating respectfully. I mean, it really just boils that, is just being respectful and kind to other people.
Yeah. And I kind of want to, you know, finish up by saying that, I know I've recently joined All the West, and I had Allgood's the president. He was on the podcast just recently, and one thing they do is they have the rucks, and you had mentioned that, you know, you're online trying to ask these questions about getting ready for your through hike, and that's a good option for people to do. And although they're not located perfectly for everybody to go to, but it is something, you know, where you can do it in person. Everybody's in a great mood. There's not any, you know, kind of like what you were saying, maybe an elitism at that event. And, you know, I think that's a good thing. I don't know, just try to, you know, try to come up with an option for people to, you know, stay away from this kind of stuff. Right.
Yeah. I actually loved that interview. I thought it was really interesting. It was funny. It really resonated with me how much, the sport of hiking was talked about as a sport. And that was actually very interesting for me because it changed the way I thought about through hiking. And so it was nice to listen to. And I thought he had a lot of really important things to say. I was excited about all the, work they're doing right now to kind of encourage the public to become more educated about their land and get involved. So that's really cool. And that's a great resource for people who can, you know, afford to get to one of these places and have the time to do it. I would really like to see in the future the creation of an online space where hikers can ask questions and learn about the trail without the fear of being bullied. And I think there's already a push for that to happen. I know the PCTA has created some Facebook groups for people to talk about the trail moving forward that'll be moderated a little bit better than the current groups. And yeah, I mean, it's just been interesting how many people have sort of felt this weirdness in public lands and are suddenly ready to talk about it, which is really cool. And I hope that those conversations are conversations and not just yelling. That, you know, I really would like to reach out to some of the people that maybe rub me the wrong way and be like, what's going on, man? Like, it seems like you're not stoked on people going out there. And what's that about? Like, how can we make this work? Because ultimately, I think the goal is to make the public feel welcome in their lands and to make sure that hikers are educated and have the resources they need to hike safely.
Absolutely. Well, I hope you are part of that group that the PCTA is starting to do, because you'd be a good person to talk to because you have a positive attitude.
But I only have 700 experience or 700 miles of experience on trail, dude.
Well, come on now.
No, it's funny though that I would actually love to be a little bit more engaged in online conversations moving forward. But unfortunately, I'm off the grid for a majority of every year most of the time. So this year has been interesting for me because I have been more present in places where public lands are being discussed outside, like the trail community, and some of that was online.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, cool. Hey, Kelly Kate, thanks so much for coming on the Cascade Hiker Podcast.
Thank you so much. It was great to be back.
All right, that's the show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Don't forget to join the Patreon page. Find me at patreon.com/Cascade Hiker Podcast. Also, hit me up with an email, Rudy@CascadeHikerPodcast.com. Find me on Facebook. My Facebook page is Cascade Hiker Podcast. Twitter, find me at @in_CascadeHiking. And I'm Cascade Hiker Podcast on Instagram. Thanks, Whiskey Fever, for letting me use this track here, Tall Grass, off their album Gonna Wake Up This Whole Town. Go find them at ReverbNation.com/Whiskey Fever. Hey, see you next week.
You were sweet like honey on a heartbeat. You were fine like wine in the sunshine. I could feel you coming on strong. Could never be wrong. Could never be wrong. See her laying down in the tall grass, playing mandolin in a white dress. I come running when I hear that song. It could never be wrong, it could never be wrong. Where you wanna run, baby, I'll run too. I would leave this world for a beautiful girl if I could.